Hello, and welcome to the Primary Podcast, a podcast about literacy practices in the primary grades. My name is Maggie Gloss, and today we will be learning about fluency. Fluency is considered one of the Big Five literacy practices from the National Reading Panel research. The Big Five elements of literacy are phonics, phonemic awareness, fluency, comprehension, and vocabulary. Today's topic of fluency came about because, as a teacher of kindergarten through second grade students, I have grappled with what fluency is, how best to teach it, and how best to assess it. In my podcast today, I will share with you what fluency is, several approaches to teaching fluency, specific instructional practices you can use in your own classroom, whatever grade you teach, and suggestions for assessing fluency in a meaningful way. Let's get started. The construct of fluency consists of three parts, identified in the National Reading Panel research and explained in various research articles: speed, accuracy, and proper expression. Speed demonstrates a student's level of automaticity with reading. Can the student recognize words and decode words quickly, thus freeing up mental space to focus on text meaning? Accuracy refers to whether the student correctly identifies and reads words, again allowing the student to focus on meaning. Lastly, proper expression, or prosody, refers to whether a student reads text with appropriate expression, phrasing, emphasis, tone, tempo, or rhythm. This last aspect of fluency is often neglected in teaching and assessing, and we will return to it later. Research has also been done concerning when students must master fluency, and the differences between oral reading fluency and silent reading fluency. Park, Chaparro, Preziado, and Cummings followed students from kindergarten to third grade, assessing students in oral reading fluency to determine when students should master the skills. They found that by the beginning of second grade, students should have reached mastery levels of fluency. This is because, as the researchers write, in order to become a fluent reader, students must master the component skill areas of phonemic awareness, phonological awareness, the alphabetic principle, and fluency with reading-connected text, end quote. Author and researcher Melanie Kuhn also feels that prior to second grade, students should be focused on mastering the building block skills that lead to fluency. She writes, "Prior to second grade, most print-oriented literacy instruction focuses either on concepts of print, pre-K and kindergarten, or word recognition, first grade. By the time students reach second grade, there is a shift in this focus," end quote. This doesn't mean that as primary teachers, we don't encourage our students in reading fluently and introduce them to the ideas of speed, accuracy, and prosody. However, the focus in the early grades should also be on mastering the literacy skills that will enable students to become fluent readers. Finally, it is important to acknowledge that oral reading fluency and silent reading fluency are separate constructs. Research has demonstrated that students progress from oral reading fluency to silent reading fluency. However, as students transition between these skills, comprehension can sometimes falter. Silent reading fluency also needs to be modeled and directly taught. In the primary grades, oral reading fluency is often a better indicator of comprehension than silent reading fluency. Again, in the primary grades, a focus on mastering decoding skills frees up the reader to focus on the text, whether reading orally or silently. But silent reading is typically something students transition to in the upper grades, so we will focus today on oral reading fluency. In my research, I read about several approaches to teaching fluency in the classroom. In an article by Kuhn and a group of researchers, two approaches were studied with second grade students: fluency-oriented reading instruction, or FORI, and the wide reading approach. In FORI, students read one text throughout the week, using echo, choral, and partner reading, as well as text-based activities. Wide reading also uses these types of oral reading, but students read three books during the week instead of one. Both approaches showed gains in reading efficiency and comprehension. The real benefit of these approaches was that students spent more time on text than in a typical classroom. Giving students plentiful opportunities to reread text helps to boost student fluency, whether with one book or several. Another approach to fluency instruction in the classroom is the Fluency Development Workshop Model, or FDW. Rutzel writes about this approach in the book Fluency Instruction: Research-Based Best Practices. FDW is based on the gradual release of responsibility model, in which teachers directly teach and model fluency elements and fluent oral reading, guide students in practicing fluency skills, and then release students to independently practice the skills. In the FDW model, teachers also administer group and individual assessments and progress monitoring. One unique aspect of this approach is a focus on metafluency, or fluency monitoring. Students are taught fix-up strategies and encouraged to monitor and track their reading fluency progress in personal folders. This gives the students ownership and pride in their reading fluency, while reducing competition among students and encouraging a growth mindset. any of these approaches to teaching fluency would, I believe, provide positive benefits to students. Whether you choose to use one of these approaches or take pieces from each, having a plan to teach fluency during your literacy block means that fluency becomes a priority rather than an afterthought. Along with these specific approaches, there are also plenty of instructional practices and activities that teachers can use to increase fluency in the three areas: speed, accuracy, and prosody. In preschool and kindergarten, students should have plenty of opportunities to use oral language by asking and answering questions and expressing thoughts and feelings. Students should also have chances to echo read, recite nursery rhymes and songs, and act out favorite stories. Building oral language will help to promote fluency later. One of the best practice-based articles I read while doing research for this podcast was by Griffith and Rosinski. Griffith is a fourth grade teacher who wanted to improve her students' fluency and conducted 3 years of action research in which she tried three activities. Two of her activities in years 2 and 3 were the use of timed reads and the use of partner reads. Timed reads can be a useful tool, which I will discuss as a possible assessment later. But Griffith did not just have students read a passage. Instead, these passages were from award-winning authors and were also used to teach students in writing. Partner reading was also effective as it created a classroom reading culture and encouraged student sharing and book talk. Griffith remarked, "Children seem to be more serious about reading commitments to a friend than they are to a teacher or a parent," end quote. Using timed reads and partner reads in your own classroom are effective fluency practices. In addition, fluency is often best encouraged by giving students a reason to want to read well out loud through repeated readings for performance. As Rosinski writes, "What would really inspire me to engage in repeated reading or rehearsal is performance," end quote. In Griffith's classroom, she used reader's theater as a motivational and engaging way to encourage fluency and repeated readings of text. In reader's theater, there are no props or costumes. Instead, students use their voices to act, a perfect time to encourage prosody, that often forgotten element of fluency. Students in Griffith's class were given scripts regardless of ability, and through practicing the scripts, students were using repeated readings without becoming bored. Jokes are also another unique instructional practice that specifically helps students focus on prosody. Ness, in an article on the use of jokes, writes, "Jokes are the quintessential texts for oral delivery. They require that a reader attend to punctuation, intonation, and phrasing," end quote. We can probably all think of a joke that fell flat due to a lack of prosody, the person missing the mark on emphasis, tone, or phrasing. Teachers can teach, model, and give feedback on joke telling, and again, students can give performances of their jokes to fellow classmates or to families. Finally, how should we be assessing fluency in our classrooms? We can have specific instructional approaches and fun activities and practices, but if we aren't assessing fluency, it is difficult to know whether these practices are improving student oral reading. To assess speed and accuracy, Kuhn suggests using a 1-minute timed read to determine a student's correct words read per minute score, or CWPM. These texts should also be grade level appropriate and cold reads, meaning that students have never read the text before. Student scores can then be compared to norms to determine where a student falls in grade appropriate reading rates. In addition, using timed reads allows you, as the teacher, to determine if just a few students need targeted fluency instruction, or whether your entire class would benefit from one of the approaches discussed earlier, like fori or wide reading. Timed reads are typically what I think of when I think of reading fluency. From a simple timed read as described previously, or using a specific assessment like the Dibbles Oral Reading Fluency Assessment, students are often evaluated on fluency in this way. While this does give a teacher information about speed and accuracy, two of the components of fluency, it neglects to give teachers information about prosody. Without prosody, students are taught to simply read as fast as they can, which, as we have all seen, can sometimes prove worse for comprehension. Valencia and a group of researchers examined fluency in students in 2nd, 4th, and 6th grade, and found that using only word count per minute was not enough to accurately identify students at risk in fluency. Instead, students should be assessed on rate, accuracy, prosody, and comprehension, and assessments should be differentiated based on grade level. To assess prosody, Kuhn suggests using a scale that evaluates prosody, such as the National Assessment of Educational Progress Oral Reading Fluency Scale. This scale scores student reading on one of 4 levels, determined by phrasing, expression, and syntax, and provides the teacher with a way to track student growth in these areas. As you can see, fluency is more than just how fast a student can read. It involves a mastery of other literacy skills, the use of prosody, and a variety of specific instructional approaches and teaching activities. Teachers also must examine how best to assess fluency in a meaningful and authentic way. I hope this podcast has provided you with some new and useful information on fluency. In closing, let's remember why we teach any literacy skill. We want our students to enjoy reading. Fluent reading allows a student to take pleasure in and develop a fuller understanding of text. Let's help our students get there. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.